What's my subscription to the New York Times have me doing this week? Preparing a strawberry pretzel pie. Solving spelling bee with no hints. Planning a trip to one of the 52 best places to go. Getting to the bottom of the big pants trend.
Whoa.
And I'm finally replacing my vacuum with a recommendation I can trust. What will your subscription to the Times have you do? Why not find out? With our best offer, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, a presidential election with a far-left candidate who wants to tax the rich and a populist candidate promising to close the borders. Signs of meddling by the Russian government. We are talking, of course, about this weekend's elections in France. It's Friday, April 21st. I do want to warn you,
okay,
as I think I've told you in the past, that my French pronunciation is not very good, and it mortifies my husband, who is a fluent French speaker. So I may ask you to pronounce, with an eye towards educating me, the names of the two candidates that we're going to be focused on here today.
Okay. Jean-Luc Mélenchon is the far-left candidate, and
okay,
Marine Le Pen is the far-right candidate.
Start with the far-left one more time really slowly, and I'm going to own that one.
Jean-Luc Mélenchon.
Mélenchon.
Jean-Luc Mélenchon.
Mélenchon.
Yep.
Okay. Adam Nossiter is based in Paris. Adam, you probably realize this, we're paying closer attention to elections in all of Europe this year than we've probably done in the past because of what feels like a set of global forces that we recognize from our own presidential election last year. And of course, every country is incredibly different. But just to start, how is this French presidential campaign similar to the 2016 election in the U.S.?
Well, you've got a similar set of social and economic circumstances.
France's December job data is out, and 30,000 more people are out of a job.
The serious issue of lack of jobs is turning into a political problem.
You've got a whole section of the French population that is unemployed.
For all of 2016, joblessness remained nearly unchanged and near the record high.
It's frustrated about the presence of immigrants in France. And that has strengthened existing populist undercurrents to the extent that they're now major contenders in a French presidential election, which they never have been in the past. And political commentators are talking about really a whole new political ballgame here.
So, Adam, this election has a popular far-right candidate.
Ceux qui sont venus en France, c'est pour trouver la France.
Marine Le Pen. What is her message?
Pas pour la transformer à l'image de leur pays d'origine, ou alors s'ils voulaient vivre.
Well, her message essentially is that France has too many immigrants.
S'ils voulaient vivre comme chez eux, il leur suffisait de rester chez eux.
And she wants to drastically cut back on the number of immigrants who are coming into France. The issue is really red meat to her supporters, and it is one that deeply troubles many French, not just her supporters. There is a sense that France is losing its identity and its culture, and immigrants are blamed by a substantial portion of the population.
And Adam, what is a Le Pen rally like? I assume you've been to many.
I mean, it's heavy on a very strident form of nationalism. There's a lot of flag waving, a lot of singing of the national anthem. There's a lot of chanting of what's become the kind of rallying cry of the National Front, which is, on est chez nous. This is our home. And what it means is this is not your home, i.e. it's not the home of immigrants or Arabs or Muslims. Marine Le Pen actually said this last night in Marseille at the rally I attended. She said, you know, I'm going to make France more French again.
Hmm.
So these rallies are very xenophobic. They're not overtly anti-Muslim, but Marine Le Pen makes it pretty clear who she has in mind, which group she has in mind when she denounces immigrants and when she says that immigrants can't assimilate into French culture.
Mesdames, mesdemoiselles, messieurs, chers compatriotes.
Adam, who does the Le Pen message appeal to?
Well, it's principally the working class voter. In the north, which is the old industrial area of France, the old mining area, economically depressed, very high unemployment, lots of factories have closed, and many, many frustrated sort of French Rust Belt workers.
I mean, what you're describing, the nationalism, the appeal to a Rust Belt, the idea of kind of France first, sounds a bit to American ears like Donald Trump.
Well, yes. Marine Le Pen has been very warm in her appreciations of Donald Trump in her speeches. She has said that they have similar ideas about restoring the sovereignty of their respective countries, not being part of international alliances. So, yes, there are points of similarity. But Marine Le Pen is actually a very different sort of political animal. I mean, she's an experienced politician.
From a political family, as best I can tell.
From a very political family. Her father founded the National Front. She's been in the political game for quite a while now. Her speeches are polished. They've got literary references in them. So they're quite different.
So, Adam, the French election also has a far-left candidate. Tell me about him and exactly what his message is.
His name is Jean-Luc Mélenchon.
Sans voir beaucoup distribuer.
His message is essentially one of taking from the rich and giving to the poor.
Définitivement désuet et qu'il faut faire dégager de la plus rapide et la plus tranquille des manières, mais le plus tôt possible.
He wants to impose huge taxes on very high earners to massively boost public spending on infrastructure and on hiring lots more civil servants. He's really struck a chord, especially with younger people who see their prospects rightly as being dismal, and he's promising them a rosy future of lavish government spending.
So I don't want to sound like a facile American, but this candidacy reminds me a lot of Bernie Sanders.
Well, yeah, it is in some ways. It has that same kind of utopian dreamer aspect to it, the same enunciations of banks and capitalism and the rich. And in fact, his campaign advisors regularly compare him to Bernie Sanders.
From what you're seeing in this race, is there kind of an essential choice being made in this election about the future of France itself? I mean, if the decision in the United States that was just made was America first, what exactly would you describe as France's decision?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that the peculiar thing is that the far left and far right populist candidacies share some of the same message. They share hostility towards global organizations, towards France's partnership in global organizations with its European neighbors. They share an indulgence towards Russia and Putin. There's also a certain hostility towards immigrant workers. In the far-left message of Jean-Luc Mélenchon. So, I mean, it's not an accident, and French political analysts do regularly compare the two candidacies. I think the fact that both are quite strong is a measure of desperation of a large segment of the French population. It was something that I personally been able to gauge most recently at the rally for the far-left candidate in Toulouse on Sunday, where I spoke to a good number of people who really are having a tough time and who are desperate for any kind of help they can get. People, you know, living at or below the poverty line, who spent their lives working in factories and coming up empty-handed. There are a lot of people who will grasp at anything at this point.
Oh, Adam, thank you very much. I know it's getting late there. I really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. No problem.
France votes on Sunday. And the race remains up in the air. As many as 30% of the French electorate is still undecided. And four of the 11 candidates, including Le Pen and Macron, are polling within 3 or 4 percentage points of each other. The two top vote-getters on Sunday will face off in a final vote on May 7th. We'll be right back.
My name is Jasmine Ulloa, and I'm a national politics reporter for The New York Times. I grew up in Texas, on the border with Mexico, and I've been reporting in the region since I was in high school. Now I travel the country looking for stories and voices that really capture what immigration and the nation's demographic changes mean for people. What I keep encountering is that voters don't fall into neat ideological boxes on this very volatile issue. There's a lot of gray. And that's where I feel the most interesting stories are. I'm trying to bring that complexity and nuance to our audience, especially in such a critical election year. And that's really what all of my colleagues on the politics team and every journalist at the New York Times is aiming to do. Our mission is to help you understand the world, no matter how complicated it might be. If you want to support this mission, consider subscribing to the New York Times. You can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
I'm really loving this sound.
Hello?
Andrew?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Well, it's pretty late. It's 6 o'clock on a cold Moscow evening.
Andrew Higgins is a Times reporter in Russia. The other day, he noticed a story published in a French news outlet, but financed by the Russian state. It showed a candidate in the French election making a miraculous comeback in the polls.
Since early this year, the former frontrunner in the race, the former French prime minister called François Fillon, his campaign has basically crashed following a sort of dizzying array of financial scandals involving sort of payments to his family for phony jobs in the French parliament, receipts of expensive suits costing 6,000 euros apiece from a Lebanese businessman, and even a claim that he's received $50,000 from another businessman to fix up an interview with President Putin of Russia. And then this poll emerged at the end of last month that said he was back on the top.
And who was doing that poll, Andrew?
The poll was published by an outfit called Sputnik, or Sputnik France, which is the French language arm of a Russian or state-funded media company, part of a vast sort of apparatus of, critics say, state propaganda. They've been doing lots of news on the election. And the French government agency that monitors the veracity and methodology of opinion polls immediately sort of issued a swift rebuke to this claim that Fillon was on top, saying the polling simply didn't exist to justify such a claim.
It appears the Russian government has taken an interest in the outcome of France's presidential election, just as they did the U.S. presidential election in November.
They have an overarching goal in their foreign policy, which is to disrupt and divide the European Union. And the main point of that is to try and get the European Union to abandon its economic sanctions placed on Russia after the annexation of Crimea. We're now 3 years after they were first imposed, and the Russian economy is suffering as a result.
Andrew, what is it about the candidates that Russia seems to favor, that Putin seems to like and want to win, that would tell us something about why they want these candidates to win?
I think their main hope for the election was the far-right leader, Marine Le Pen. And the reason for that was fairly simple. She fits into a sort of class of politicians that Russia has liked across Europe, disruptive insurgent figures who basically have no interest in the European Union and, if possible, would like to get their countries out of the European Union. France was a founder of the European Union, and along with Germany, it's the main pillar of that sort of political project. And if Marine Le Pen were to be elected as the president of France, there's a very good chance that would help Russia, because it's only the European Union that has kept these sanctions against Moscow in place. They're not individual country sanctions. They're European Union sanctions.
Did something change along the way? I mean, why would this Russian-backed news agency write an article that was supportive of her rival Fillon?
Well, I think they thought that Fillon was out for the count, but he certainly struck up a friendly relationship with President Putin, and the Russians certainly looked kindly on him.
So she seemed like a better performing horse in the race.
Yeah, definitely. She's been the front runner of the sort of unorthodox candidates from the start.
So you mentioned this opinion poll that a Russian-funded media agency seemed to skew. Are there other examples of Russia potentially trying to interfere in this election?
The campaign of the current frontrunner, who is a man called Emmanuel Macron, who is a liberal, sort of pro-globalist, pro-NATO, pro-European Union candidate, and therefore very much not to the liking of Russia. His campaign's computers have been subjected to a sort of barrage of cyber attacks in recent months, including some very sophisticated so-called phishing attacks, which are efforts to get into the email system of the candidates and his aides. And such phishing attacks were what we used last year to get into the Democratic National Committee computer.
All of this makes listeners in the United States think about this election that we just had, which U.S. intelligence officials have concluded quite firmly that Russia attempted to meddle in and interfere and even pick sides in. As best you can tell, how comparable are these two at this moment?
There's a big difference in the United States and France in that in the U.S., Russia has a really hard time sort of reaching out to the general public and the political class in general. Sort of attitudes formed during the Cold War is still fairly strong, and Russia is generally viewed with a large amount of suspicion across the spectrum. In France, that's not the case. Russia has a lot of pre-existing fans. There's a host of organizations and individuals who, for in many cases, their own personal reason, think that Putin's doing a great job and Russia is a great country and in some ways a beacon for the future of Europe.
And why is that?
On the right, it's largely they look to Russia as a defender of traditional values, a strong sort of force that believes in national sovereignty, and in most cases, in the French context, that means against the overweening power of the United States. And so Russia comes along and says that they're defending a multipolar world against American hegemony. That sort of strikes a chord with certain politicians in France.
Andrew, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I know it's late there. Have a good night, and we will keep tracking this election, and we'll be in touch with you.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Have a good evening. Yep, bye.
On Thursday night, a gunman killed a police officer and wounded two others before being shot dead by the police on the Champs-Élysées, a major boulevard in central Paris. The motivation is not yet known, but the French presidential candidates quickly reacted on Twitter. Police officers were, quote, once again targeted, said Marine Le Pen, the far-right candidate. Here's what else you need to know today. The Times is reporting that White House officials, desperate to show progress on President Trump's promise to repeal the Affordable Care Act, are pushing to resurrect a new version of a Republican health care bill before Trump's 100th day in office, next week. And Bill O'Reilly will leave Fox News with a payout of up to $25 million, the equivalent of 1 year of his salary, The Times reports. That means 21st Century Fox, the network's parent company, will have now paid out more than $85 million related to sexual harassment allegations. The vast majority of those payments are to the men being removed from the network because of the allegations against them. The Daily is produced by Theo Balcom, Andy Mills, and Lisa Tobin, with help from Rachel Quester and Peter Sale. Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsberg of Wonderly. Special thanks to Kate Osborne, Samantha Hennig, Pedro Rosado, Michaela Bouchard, and Hannah Olivan. If you want more of The Daily in your life, you can sign up to receive a text from me about the news and this show by texting the word DAILY to the number 63937. That's 63937. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you on Monday.